إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, before we begin, if the brothers can scoot forward, inshallah, that will be appreciated. As the Quran says, you know, when there are gatherings that are crowded, يفسح الله لكم, you know, like if you make room, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make room for you. And every inch that you pull forward is a sadaqah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. May Allah increase our sadaqah. Now, MashaAllah, that worked. These are important days. This is Black History Month, and we know that, subhanAllah, the ummah of the Prophet rests on two incredible martyrs, both of who were black. We know also that the strongest reports are that Sayyidina Adam from Udam, which means black, and also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described Sayyidina Musa as being a black person. And we know that our community still faces the incredible hypocrisy of its own anti-blackness, its inability to accept blackness and love blackness as a whole. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to send spiritual and social, political and economic agitators to wake us up from being intoxicated with the dunya and reminding us of our purpose. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. Jannah is not for the unjust. And Jannah is not for bigots. And Jannah is not for racists. And during these days, especially yesterday, we call to mind one of our greatest heroes in the annals of American Islam, who, subhanAllah, countless numbers of converts, regardless of their color or social economic background, have been able to find incredible spiritual motivation, political bravery, and commitments to a just economy. And of course, we're talking about Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, rahimahullah, Malcolm X. So I think it's very important during these times, if you haven't read the autobiography by Alex Haley, that is like highly commendable to do. Just in your own trajectory as a young person, because there's so much there, mashallah. And we know that great spiritual figures, we tend to own them in a selfish way. That's what makes them exemplary. That's what makes them great. We all, in our own shortcomings, there may be drops of intersectionality between us and those people. And before we talk about this person in brevity, it's very important to remember that every hero and shiro in the Muslim ummah is just a drop from the personality of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why Ahmad Shawqi, the great poet, said, "Akhuka Isa da'a maytan faqama lahu." He said, you know, Jesus, your brother, O Muhammad, he called like the dead to life, like physically Allah blessed him to bring, resuscitate the dead, right? وَأَنْتَ أَحْيَيْتَ أَجْيَالَ مِنْ رِمَمِي. Ya Allah. He said, but oh, you, O Muhammad, if Sayyidina Isa brought, resuscitated people physically, it is you who resuscitated generation upon generation upon generation of people from spiritual death to becoming muwahideen wa'arifin billah. That's why Allah, when Umar ibn Khattab accepted Islam, Allah describes his Islam, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Allah says in Surah An'am, for the one who is dead, Ibn Qayyim said, Umar, he wasn't physically dead, he was spiritually dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. So we brought him to life. We resuscitated him with Iman. There's a few lessons we can take from the life of our brother, and we know that narratives are very important. Tomorrow, mashallah, at 11 o'clock, we're going to be hearing from some brilliant black authors. It's very important to be a listener. That's why the first quality of the Sahaba, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. Now people, أَقُولُ وَرُبَّمَا أُطِعِكَ. Nowadays, it's like, I got something to say, maybe I'm going to listen to you, maybe not. But the best jeel, the best generation, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ, سَمِعْنَا. It's very important that we listen to black narratives, because in their narratives of trauma and success and love and the right to be angry, there's a lot of intersectionality now with what we're facing through Islamophobia. And our Islam in America rests through that narrative, mashallah. But there's a few lessons we can take, and Allah reminds us to remember people. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them, Surah Ibrahim, of the days of God. Remind them of the days of Allah. So there's a few reflections I'll share. I heard yesterday, mashallah, our brother Zahir Ali from the Brooklyn Historical Society last night in Harlem talking about the autobiography, and it was like incredibly moving and powerful. But there's a few points that I want to share that I heard. The first is that oftentimes, the drama that you're going through and the madness that you're experiencing and the trauma that surrounds you, that drama is just preparing you to be a director. And we think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to look at it socially, the odds are stacked against him. He's born without a father. He loses his mother. Allah says, أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا. We found you an orphan. What was the percentage of survival of orphans during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loses his family, his grandfather. I mean, really, the opening of the seerah is how to manage tragedy. The seerah doesn't start like a Harry Potter story where everything's gravy and life is awesome, and you're this special snowflake who doesn't have to work hard for anything, but because you're so awesome, you achieve awesomeness. The Prophet's life starts with the odds stacked against him, to the point that he becomes a shepherd, which was kind of looked down upon amongst the aristocracy of Mecca. But we know, he says later on, every prophet was a shepherd. So every moment of tragedy that Malcolm experiences, the difficulties that he faces through systematic and state-sponsored disruption, just prepares him to be who he becomes. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, maybe you love something, it's bad for you. Maybe you hate something, it's good for you. Allah knows, and you don't know. So the first lesson is that difficulty and drama. Nas came from Queens. Shakespeare came from England. Right? Our greatest lyricist, Kendrick, comes from Compton. Our most well-equipped, skilled users of the English language didn't go to prep schools. They went to the school of hard knocks. So we see that drama and hardship and difficulty, perhaps we can appreciate the fact that qada is like our personal trainer, and it's just building our capacity for greatness, inshallah. The second lesson that we learn from his life is that leadership demands preparation. It just doesn't happen. It's not just a hashtag. So we see somebody who never allows that drama to be used as an excuse, as his daughter says, but he used hardship as a means to catapult him to be even more on his game, to be more serious, to be more focused. The more difficult the defenses are thrown at him, the better he gets with his crossover. If they push him to the right, he learns how to use his left hand. I heard from his daughter that basically he like memorized dictionary in prison. He didn't allow difficulty to be used as an excuse. SubhanAllah, now we live in a time where people use success as an excuse. And that's why Imam Ibn Ta'ala said, "Udfun wujudaka fi ard al-khumul." You know, take time out to prepare yourself. Dig yourself, he says, in a deep, deep earth. Plant yourself there. Because what's not planted, what's not given time to grow and develop skills and foster the tools needed for the future will not bring fruit nor will it be ripe. So it's certainly commendable for us to constantly be looking to improve ourselves, to constantly be updating our skill set. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever hassana Islama, whoever takes the time to improve their Islam, their rewards will be amplified like any time in their life." In another narration, he said, "Man hassana Islamahu, whoever improves their Islam, I promise a home in the highest levels of Jannah." Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the idea of constantly using things around him that may have been negative as fuel for his passion, and then investing in himself and preparing himself for leadership, it just doesn't happen. There's a few other lessons that we can take quickly, inshallah, because they're very important to who we are. And again, these are personal reflections that tend to be, of course, from my lens. It doesn't mean they're the truth. History is a construction. But one of the things that he did, I think, that we fail to appreciate is that he denounced idolatry. As a community, we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call every single person, if possible, to La ilaha illallah. That is the best thing we can do. First and foremost, Allah tushiku bihi shay'a. Every prophet said it. And of course, there's different ways. Don't leave here now and go to halal guys and start yelling at people that, you know, there's only one God and, you know, give me the special sauce. Of course, there's different ways to communicate that. But whether it was through his initial denouncing of the white God that was crafted through Western Christianity to continue to impose white supremacy on people in ways which are incredibly maniacal. That's why idolatry is forbidden, because idolatry opens up the door to oppression. And it does things to people's psyche. So initially he unconditionally denounced a white God. I remember growing up, I asked my mom, how come at our church God is white and at their church God looks like, you know, like Neo? And she's like, I don't understand. I said, no, like every church has a different color for God. And she's like, oh, well, you know, that's not really God. That's just like God. What? And we know it's very clearly mentioned in all sacred texts that there should be no imagery of God, because it leads to facade. And then later on, as he embraces Tawheed, he denounces also the idea of a black God. He continually sets forth a message which roots social emancipation in spiritual emancipation. And that's what Ibn Ajiba, the great Sufi, he said the greatest outcome of being a servant to Allah is hurriya, is freedom from dunya. How many of us were rocked by the dunya, but we're not rocked by missing Fajr? How many of us like will lose our life if we can't play a certain game with our friends, or we miss a sports game, or something like that. Last night, I was watching the Celtics almost win. And, you know, my wife was talking to me, and for a moment, I was like, man. But then I realized, man, this is my wife, man. I don't care about Kyrie, right? So luckily, I caught myself before there would have been Yom Kiyama up in my house, man. But I'm saying the dunya and idolatry messes with priorities. The third thing that he teaches us through the idea of embracing black love is Muslim love. We don't love each other. We have been so conditioned by the negative narrative that we believe we are not good. But in the face of tremendous odds, in the face of white supremacy, which was running unabated, and by the way, is progressing in this country. Nobody should think that white supremacy is done. No, no, it's metamorphosized. It's now like on steroids. But Malcolm, in the face of that, in the face of J. Edgar Hoover and Cantel and everything that's happening, is able to embrace the love of his people. And that's very important. Because the next lesson is the problem of the exemplary. The problem of being talented. The problem of being successful. The problem of being unique. Because uniqueness tends to drift someone away from his or her community. And in fact, we may say, yeah, I used to live in that neighborhood, but now I live in Brooklyn Heights. I used to live in that neighborhood, now I live in the Hamptons. But if someone loves their people, they will not allow their talents to be co-opted by anybody. And they will understand that when people say, as Malcolm said, you know, I like this person. He's a responsible, she's a responsible leader. No, they're not responsible to anyone but God and their community. So he's able, through success, to maintain the ability to go to Oxford and speak, Stanford and speak, but still go to Harlem and speak and talk to people. And this is prophetic. The prophets are sent to Fir'aun, and the prophets are sent to the poor. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Allah commands the prophet, stay down with those who are not even Arab. Stay down with those Bilal and Salman who are not of the rich. The Prophet said, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي sabbarani. You know, praise be to Allah who gave me the patience to be with those who are vulnerable. So the prophet's excellence, the prophetic office, is not about using talent for individual or career agency. It's about fostering my talent to serve the people as best I can and be true in my message to God. And that's why the Prophet said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ فَعْلِ النَّاسِ. The best people are those who benefit people. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was told by Ella Collins' son, of course, we could never talk about Malcolm's story without mentioning the incredible black women that surrounded him. His wife Betty is often lost, but there's a beautiful biography on the life of Betty Shabazz that people should read. His wonderful daughters who live in New York City, and Ella Collins, his sister. When Malcolm, her son, Ella Collins' son Yusuf, told me that when Malcolm came to her and said, yo, I'm gonna be Malcolm X, you know, like, I'm getting ready to do this, she made him take a vow of poverty. And that's the other lesson. Who are the interlocutors and mentors in your life, man? It can't just be people that be around you and amplify what the dunya has to offer. That's a delusional friendship. Real friendship are those who call me to Allah, who remind me of my greater purpose. The secret of everything that moves is Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. So his sister, when he comes and discusses the idea of being Malcolm, commands and will not actually leave their home. I sat in the chair he sat in, man. It was incredible. In their home where he lived in Boston. And she said, you must take a vow of poverty if you're going to lead the downtrodden. Because we don't want you bought. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says, I have purchased the lives of the believers. And I have purchased it for Jannah. Not for nearness to power or a cool banquet where you're eating some prawns and halal roast beef and being told how responsible of a leader you are. No, no. You care for the people. You think about how the military-industrial complex is being used by powerful states to destroy Yemen. You can't sleep at night because you understand that the majority of people incarcerated in America for life have been incarcerated because they have not committed crimes that are violent. That bothers the believer. So Malcolm's soul is stirred, but it's facilitated by the people around him. I was told last night by a historian, and now we see money coming into the American Muslim community from outside this country. Do you think that money's gonna come to your pocket without conditions? Do you think that you're gonna be invited to palaces without being expected to toe the line and sell out? You're delusional, man. He said to me that a foreign state approached Malcolm in 1962. Or 63, and offered him $1 million, and he refused. $1 million in 1963 is like 10 mil now. That's like keto money. Like, that's big dough. But he refused because he understood that he would be forced to compromise his call. So there's a number of lessons we can take, but those are just a few, I think, that are very important now. As the Muslim community sails through a tremendous turbulent time, the tempest known as Donald Trump, and all of the challenges that we face internally. And let me again emphasize the fact that he taught black love in the face of incredible, incredible odds. And we will not succeed, as the Prophet prophesied, unless we truly love each other. لَا يَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. You will not enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe until you love each other. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the family of our brother, our leader, Imam Malik Shabazz. Ask Allah to bless his wife Betty, to illuminate her grave. Ask Allah to bless his daughters and his extended family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him with the highest level of Jannah, the level of being a martyr for the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us learn from the lessons of racial supremacy and the evil of power and anti-blackness, to hear the voice of Malcolm as it settles in our heart to be allies against those things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yajma'ana ma habibina Sayyidina Muhammad kama amana bihi wa lam nara. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين الذي أرسله الله سبحانه وتعالى رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأبرار، ومن اهتدى بهديه وتسن بسنته حتى تقوم الساعة. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى يا رب العالمين. Another important lesson that we learn from the life of this incredible leader, and again, I encourage each and every one of us to take some time to listen to some of his talks, to reflect on the autobiography, but not hold the autobiography as revelation, because there, as yesterday one of the historians said to us, that there's great lessons to be learned in the silence of the autobiography, as there are lessons to be learned in the voice of the autobiography. But one of the great lessons that we take from the life of this person is hope. And oftentimes we find ourselves as a community buying into the notion that somehow we're not doing good, or somehow we should give up, like fatalism, and we should lose any type of hope in ourselves. But one of the things that he helped us understand is the importance of calibrating hope through strategy and action. And as long as there was action, there's hope. Surah Al-Kahf finishes this way, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. You know, whoever hopes to meet God, then let them do good. The last lesson, and this is something that I planned to talk about in the beginning, but I felt it was important, especially what's going on this weekend in New York. There are attempts to decarcerate New York, to review the bail laws, which unfortunately, out of the 25,000 people in jail right now, 70% can't afford to pay their bail. You know, Imam al-Qurtubi, one of the great, great jurists, he said that it is an obligation upon a community to provide people money who need to get out of jail if they don't have that money. SubhanAllah. This is also the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, Rahimullah, and Imam Malik has a very famous statement, of course, where it is a communal obligation, fard kifaya, to help people be freed from jail. SubhanAllah. And that is that we need to be very careful about judging people, especially based on their past. That's why the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that you should not ask someone, min ayna jit, like where'd you come from? Because maybe they did something that was bad, and before they met you, they reformed themselves with Allah, subhanAllah. Maybe they made tawbah before they saw you. And we have to be wary of a prison industrial complex. We'll speak about this in the khutbah in the future, that the intersection of politics, economics, and bureaucracy come together to fashion a state now that, believe it or not, prisons are now being publicly traded in America. There's personal equity in America. There's private equity in America. Target benefits from the prison industrial complex. Starbucks benefits from the prison industrial complex. Read about it and it'll really impact you, and you may come to the conclusion now of understanding why the projects are called the projects, because it's a project. And for anyone who claims, as Dr. James Cone talks about, to be someone who's a believer, it is not possible that they could divorce themselves from social responsibility and being dedicated to justice. This country, unfortunately, is being ran by corporate interest, and those corporate interests have made it fashionable to incarcerate, especially young black men and people of color in this country, in order to make money. That's horrible. And then we understand the power of social conditioning. Why are we, at the age of 4, introduced to shooting bunnies in pink suits and blasting people's heads off and listening to music, whether death metal or other, that encourage us to call women the worst names in the world, to disrespect our parents, to turn against our own values, to become people who are groomed now for incarceration? How does that play out in a world of investment and money? We got to wake up, man. But can you imagine if Malik Shabazz was on Mender right now and his history was there? I used to go by Detroit Red. I worked in Detroit, had some odd jobs, did some jobs on a train between Boston and New York City, worked in Harlem for a minute as a street peddler. How many people would swipe right? How often do we judge people who come into our community because of their pasts, whereas we leave their past to God? The Prophet said, everyone is forgiven in my ummah except those who expose themselves. That's why, even in marriage, when someone asks you, can you tell me about the dirt you did? Absolutely not. That's between me and God. And then what happens is, well, I wanted to be honest. I wanted to tell him. And then you tell him, and then it's like, he's not responding to my text anymore. I don't know why. Or vice versa. She unfriended me. And now I'm even blocked. It was just a misdemeanor. But that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, your past is between you and God, and communities should be there to help people secretly heal from the pressures of their past. But we don't judge people from their past, because as one of the scholars said, the Prophet said that tawbah changes the past, and doing good changes the past. And we assume that Allah has turned their sayyat, as mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan, to hasanat, our own and others. Look how he uses them in a prophetic way, to protect him from future mistakes, inspire him to greatness, and to serve as a GPS for his life. Satan tries to destroy us with our past because he knows, inshallah, that we have a great future. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, inshallah, with iman. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of justice and integrity and fidelity. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us appreciate that our community is not just a linear historical community, but that our community is one sanctioned by the one who exists beyond all physical laws, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the bravery to love one another. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the bravery to have good suspicions and assumptions of one another. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the power to forgive. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help turn our past mistakes into the energy used to rectify the future. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our students, inshallah, to ease their struggles and their challenges, to provide them, inshallah, with the mental faculties for success. Pray for our brothers and sisters who may be struggling on the job with, who knows, Michael Scott on steroids. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and bless you from that situation. We pray for our middle-aged single brothers and sisters who go through a tremendous amount of mental anguish. May Allah bless you to find, inshallah, a wonderful spouse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease your sense of loneliness and replace that, inshallah. We ask Allah to bless us to be sincere and honest servants to Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you give us tawfiq to guide us, inshallah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.